Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Shona Ward.
Hello, everybody. Hi. Morning. As you can see, I've come prepared. I've got for those who are listening on the podcast, I've got four books, three of which are Bibles. So we're okay. Yes, wham. So, Brian's already reminded you what wham was all about. When Pastor Paul said, oh, we've done wham, I thought, oh, what am I going to do then? Let's quickly think of some 80s group, Kajgoodoo. Nah, just forget it. I mean, how good that, I can't even spell it, so I can't have a little thing for each one of them. And it didn't fit in anyway with what God was going to give me to pray. So you're saved, everybody. Thank you, Joanne. Yeah, so today, the question that I've got another wham. You could call this wham two, if you like. Not that there were two whams, but I just thought, well, that was quite easy, because the first part of what I was going to say is, what is prayer? So there is a W. What is prayer? Okay. And as you can see, it's rather a big topic. And we won't be here all day, but we could be. But it was just a question. We've recently taken through quite a few new Christians through Freedom in Christ, and we encourage them to pray. We encourage them to read the Bible. I had that. You know, you get a little thought from the Holy Spirit every so often. Well, but do they understand what you're telling them to do? Yeah. Do they know what prayer is? Do they know how to pray? Huh. Good. Yeah, we're getting there. I'm not quite sure what the A and M are going to be yet, but never mind. But yeah, so the Lord was saying to me about having some tools in a toolbox, and how prayer isn't just a set thing. You know, like when you're little, and you learn how to pray, and you kneel by your bedside, and your parents say, close your eyes, put your hands together like this, you know. And that's kind of like how you're taught to pray when you're little. And sometimes you're taught to pray a certain prayer, like the Lord's Prayer. But you say it, you know, you just say the words. And that's your prayer. Or you pray, bless mummy and daddy and brothers and sisters or aunties and uncles and all, you know. And so growing up, that's maybe what you think prayer is. Then that's maybe you think that's all that prayer is. But prayer is just so much more than that. And sometimes if you have like tools in a toolbox, you don't always need the hammer. And sometimes, you know, you might need the screwdriver or the spanner or any other things like a saw, you know, but our axe or whatever you've got in your toolbox, you know. Don't particularly have one of my own. Brian has that. He's the mighty man for the toolboxes. So I had that, and I've been thinking on it, and been thinking, well, okay, what's the answer then? You know, it's a good question. What is prayer? But what's the answer? And God said to me, use Bake Off. You know, like, anybody watch Bake Off? Yes, quite a few of us. Good. Confession. Yes. Confession from Pastor Adrian. But you know how sometimes in Bake Off, for the, you know, they have these things where they're told what they're going to be, the theme, what the theme is going to be. And then they have a technical challenge, which is something really complicated and awkward. And they don't quite give them all the full instructions on what to do it. They say, your technical challenge is to make this. And what if you've never known what this is? And so that was kind of like where I was going with the thoughts of it. That that sometimes we say things. I mean, like when it's time to bake, Sue and Mel, the presenters, they just go, ready, bake! In that sort of thing. And I think sometimes when we say, you know, oh, pray for this or pray for that, do we just go, pray? And people don't actually think, you know, are they sort of like, you know, thinking it's like a competition or a judge where, you know, got Star Baker over here, Pastor Brian, who's the Star Baker this year, he can do the praying, you know, or Joshy there, you know, he can really pray. So we'll just leave it to them because they're the Star Bakers and we don't want to make a mess and have a disaster that sometimes happens on Great British Bake Off and oh, we'll get voted off this round. Well, when you're praying with God, there is no Star Baker and there is no elimination. Yeah. So, which I thought was pretty good, because like sometimes you get like that, don't you? You sort of like can compare yourself a little bit and so you don't pray. But actually, prayer is a relationship. Yeah? Prayer is a relationship. So, So if we turn to Matthew 6, which I have already got marked, because there was loads of scriptures and I didn't want to get lost. Matthew 6, verse 5. And this is Jesus speaking. And he says, "And do not imitate the hypocrites when you pray." Again, they want to be seen and applauded by others. Star Baker kind of thing coming on, you know. I'm the mighty intercessor, make way, I will do the praying, you know. I tell you emphatically that they also have already received the only reward they will ever get. Whereas we know that we're living for eternity and we're storing up treasures and riches and rewards in heaven from our Heavenly Father. Rather, when you pray, go in your private room, shut the door, and pray unseen by others to your Father, who is also unseen. Your Father sees and rewards what you do secretly. And I was just thinking, okay, how can I describe how the Father rewards you? And sometimes it's just like little blessings along the way. I don't know if any remember when Paul Mainwaring came and he bought this book out, Kisses from a Good God. And I absolutely love that book. I think it's just incredible. It tells the story of his journey through cancer and out the other side. But it also tells of how God just shows him along the way that he is there. And I thought of that book when I thought of the rewards. And one of the fun things we did, Brian's already said that we were away down in Solihull visiting his mum and family. And we've never actually been into Birmingham. So this day we thought, let's go into Birmingham, you know, let's go and do that and do something a little bit different. So we went and we went on a little canal trip and it was lovely. I didn't realise there was canals in Birmingham for some weird and wonderful reason. I hadn't quite kind of like thought, I knew there was the Birmingham to something canal, but actually in the town centre, I didn't realise it was there. So we went on the canal trip. And we had some lunch and we thought, right, we'll go and try and find the bull ring, you know, the famous bull ring, because we'd never actually seen it and I quite fancied seeing it. For those who don't know what the bull ring is, it's a big shopping mall and it was a special sort of like design in the shape of a round thing. It's in Birmingham and you can't miss it. There's a great big bronze, I think, bull outside it as well, just to give you a clue. So we went there and we were just looking around and it was just, you know, like a normal shopping mall is. I think at the time it was quite cutting edge, but now, you know, small. And there was a Disney shop and Brian and I said to Brian, "Oh, Disney shop, let's go in there." Because, you know, I like Disney, you know. And we went into the Disney shop and who should we see in the Disney shop but the beautiful Kim with her equally lovely father. And it was just like, that's Kim. No, I can't be Kim. What would Kim be doing here? We're in Birmingham. Kim's not here. Kim's away. No. But it was Kim. And it was just a delight to see somebody from home, totally unexpected. And that's sometimes what Father God does. He rewards you openly when you're least expecting it. and you just know it's him. And that was just like, whoa, really unexpected and such a blessing. It was just like such fun. We couldn't stop talking about it. It was like, oh my days, there's Kim. Yeah, so the Father sees and rewards what you do secretly. And when you pray, do not keep babbling on like the pagans do, thinking that the more words they use, the more effective their prayers will be. Because prayer isn't a great big long thing. If you're talking to somebody and somebody goes on and on and on and on, all you want to do is get away from that person, and you don't want to have a conversation with that person because you think, oh dear, that person goes on and on and on, and they just never let you get a word in edgewise, and it's just not good. So don't be like that when you pray, because, you know, Father God is listening and he wants to speak to you, and he can't speak to you if you're going on and on and on and on. So you have to treat it like it should be, a conversation between a father and a child, where you speak and the other person speaks back to you. So this is what what God was saying. Some of it was what prayer is, and some of it is what prayer isn't. So verse 8. No, do not be like them, for your Father is well aware of what you need, even before you ask him. Where sometimes people come and they think prayer is asking God for stuff. That's an A. Ask. Got it in. Okay. Just for those who like to do that kind of thing, and she says, oh, well, she said wham, and she hasn't mentioned A. You know, it's like... So A is for ask, because we can ask the Father. There are loads of scriptures, and I probably will get to some of them, where Jesus says ask, you know, and it's asking the Father. But it's not like just going in, it's not like going to your supermarket where, you know, like you go around in your trolley and you think, yeah, oh, I need that, need that, need that, need that, need that, need that, woof, off we go, that's it. And there's no conversation with anybody, you know, you're not saying to the person who's on the shelf, it's all right if I take this, love, it's all right if I take that, can I, you know, it's not like that. Prayer isn't just a shopping list of things. It's like you're asking God, but you're not treating it like a shopping list where you just go in, oh, I've got this, 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 right, thanks, bye. Yeah. And I know some people can do that, because I used to be like that. I used to think, oh, you're supposed to ask, right, Father God, I need this, I would like that, and can I do that? And I didn't really get the bit about listening back to him, and, you know, because sometimes Father God will actually say no. That's not a good thing for you to have at this moment in time. And that was a bit of a shock. What do you mean? You know, but like any good father, he knows where you're at, and he knows the maturity you're at, and he knows the age you're at. So he can say, no, actually, that's not good for you to have at this moment. It might be good in a few years' time, and it might happen in a few years' time when you're ready to handle it, and when you're ready to steward it properly, as Pastor Brian was saying earlier. When we ask for things, we need to know that we're asking God the Father, who has everything and holds everything in his hands, and we need to know how to steward that responsibly and steward it well. And so sometimes our Father says no. And sometimes it's like children who, it's jolly well dangerous for you to have that, so no, that's a little bit dangerous, like a toolbox. You know, yes, you can have this little pretend hammer, but you're not getting the real thing yet. Till I see how you can work out with this. Because as you know, giving a two-year-old a proper hammer is not the best idea in the whole wide world. And our Father God is very wise. You know, I've learnt that along the way. And it's best to just trust him. And that sometimes you can be praying and praying and praying for something, and actually it's like, just trust Father God. In the right time, if it's good, he will give you it. Because Father God doesn't give you awful things. There's another verse, I won't go to it yet because I haven't actually looked it up. And that is, when you ask, if you ask for bread, he won't give you a scorpion. You know, he knows how to give his children good gifts, like any good father. We're made in his image, And as a good father, sometimes that's not a good thing for us to have, and he knows it, so he won't give us it. But when we do ask for things, he will give us good things. Okay, so. Is this verse 9 or verse 8? Well, kind of verse 9. Our Heavenly Father, this is the kind of outline you should use when praying. Now, it's not a formula, it's a kind of outline. So it's not meant to just be rote. It's meant to be in relationship, as I said. So it's our Heavenly Father. So it's our Heavenly Father. That's who we're addressing, our Father. And we're addressing him as beloved children who know their Father, who love their Father, who know what sort of father he is. In the Freedom in Christ course, we have these cards, and on one side of the cards, it's like, I reject the lie that. And there's things like, you know, my father is nitpicking, and my father is not concerned with me. And then on the other, and you reject that lie. And then on the other side of the card is, I joyfully receive the truth that. And it lists all these lovely, awesome things, God, my Father, who is intimately concerned about us, who wants us to succeed, who will give us the good things that we ask for. And that's the relationship we have. I mean, I grew up, I never knew my father. I still don't. I've never met my father. And I live with a stepfather who was quite abusive. So my template for a father wasn't particularly brilliant. And I know that for the first few years of being a Christian, I looked at Father God through that mirror, if you like. But through Freedom in Christ and things and other things, I learned that actually I can just discard that and get rid of it. Because it doesn't matter if your father was the most amazing heavenly earthly father. We have a heavenly father, and he is just immense and incredible. And I know some of you here, and I know you've got amazing fathers. So I no way disparage your earthly father, but the heavenly father just surpasses that so much. So yeah, so then it's like, let your name be praised. So it's worship. It's adoration. You know, when we were singing those songs this morning, we weren't just singing them, we were declaring them. There were some powerful truths being declared this morning. They were amazing. You know, be thou my vision. Yeah, Jesus, you're my vision. You're going to be there. You're going to help me. You're going to give me direction. You know, it's just like amazing stuff that comes out when we worship. If we really grasp hold of what it is that you're singing, what it is you're saying. And there's that connection with the Father. And you can just hear the Holy Spirit just speaking those words over you. And it's really, really powerful. So hallowed be your name. Father, we just exalt you. Father, we lift your name up. Father, you are awesome. You know, that is how we do it. And it's a relationship. It sets us off. We're not just going, our Heavenly Father, let your holy name be praised. May your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth. You know, it's not just kind of like, oh yeah, that's me, I've prayed. You know, it's may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth. It's declaration. It's declaring these things over yourself. It's proclamation. It's saying this will be done. You know, when you say those words, if they're spoken in the power of the Holy Spirit, they're the same power as what Jesus was doing. You know, they're the same power that is in you as was in him. That it's the same Holy Spirit. You don't get like a titchy little baby Holy Spirit. You get the whole caboodle Holy Spirit. Powerful, mighty, almighty. And when you declare these things over you, that will be. In Isaiah, God says, his word goes out and it doesn't return void. It achieves that for which it's sent. And that is the same power, and that is the same authority that we have. So when we declare things like your kingdom come, your will be done, it will be done, and it will come. And it's amazing, because his kingdom is a kingdom of love, a kingdom of joy, kingdom of peace, kingdom of grace, kingdom of power, kingdom of strength. I could go on and on, because his kingdom goes on and on and on and on. It is amazing. And one of the things that I was thinking about was how Pastor Paul was talking about, and he was talking about personalizing your words. You know, so I'd got down here that your kingdom come, your rule and your reign come in my life, in my circumstances, in the people that I'm meeting, in the things that I'm doing. Your reign, your kingdom come. And when you start prayer like that, you're just doing and you can go off. And before you know it, you know, oh, better go. I'm supposed to be going somewhere now. but that is one of the other tools, if you like. So you've got conversation, you've got worship, you've got declaration, you've got meditation. You can meditate on the word. You can think about what it's saying. You can just spend some time in the word, just allowing it to soak into you, just allowing the Holy Spirit to say, yeah, this means this. This is what I'm saying. This is what I want to do. And you have that moment of revelation. You know, when I was talking the last time, when I was doing the Freedom in Christ, and the Holy Spirit sitting there going, bing, 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 bing. It's like revelation. It's what he does. It's like he speaks back to you, and you hear him, and it goes. And you know you can take it or you can leave it. I choose to take it because I know it's good. I know what the Father's saying to me is good. It's going to be good for me. It's going to bear fruit in my life because that's what he wants to happen in me. He wants fruit. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to avail much. He wants us to do stuff. You know? So, yeah. So then we've got, give us today everything we need. Everything we need. And if we ask, then we know that we'll get. So we know that we have everything we need for today. He doesn't ask us everything we need for the next 6 years coming. It's just, give us today. Give us today everything we need. And then at the end of the day, when you know you've had everything you've needed, thank him for it. Our Father is a Father like any other father in that sense. He likes it when the children that he's given something to come back and say, thank you so much for that, Father. That was great. Really like that, Dad. That was a fantastic thing. You know, if you've been waiting and waiting and waiting to your birthday to get a bike or something like that, and your kids get the bike and they go off and they go off, it'd be awful if the kids didn't turn around and say, thanks for that bike. You know, just a little thank you. You know, just a little mention. It would be awesome. And so that's what our Heavenly Father's like. He's waiting for us to say thank you. Like when the lepers got healed and only one went back. Only one went back and said thank you. Only one acknowledged that it was Jesus who'd done it. You know, it's like our Father loves it when we do that. He loves it when we go back and say thank you. So forgive us when we sin against you, just as we forgive those who sin against us. And that's kind of like what Freedom in Christ is all about. It's like teaching people how to forgive when people have sinned against you, and how to enable you to just live in that forgiveness, because you've been forgiven everything by God the Father, everything you ever do, because it was all done at the cross. He will forgive you when you confess your sin. He is just and able to forgive you that sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And he will do that. And that is what we meant to do for one another. That is the same as so as the Father's given it to us, so we go out and give it to others. Like Pastor Brian was saying about the love of God and the forgiveness of God and the mercy of God and the peace of God. Then that is what we go out of. We let it flow out of from us. Yeah. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from all the power and influence of the evil one. I love this one. It's like, because we know the enemy's out there trying to lead us into temptation. We know he's trying to lead us astray. We know he's trying to influence our hearts and our thoughts and our minds with all sorts of stuff. I mean, just in the same way as you put the telly on and all the companies that want you to buy their products are all bombarding you with stuff and trying to influence you to buy stuff and to, oh, this will be good, oh, that looks exciting, and excite all your fleshly things. And the enemy's trying to do that. So we pray, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from all the power and influence of the evil one. And if you see somebody getting taken up in temptation, don't judge them, don't condemn them, pray for them. Release the Holy Spirit into their lives. Just pray that they are not led into temptation, that they are freed from that temptation, that curse is broken over their lives. You know, just Declare it. Use that tool. That's a good tool to use when you're praying for somebody who's caught in something. Pray for it. Declare them. Declare the truth of who they are. Declare the truth of their freedom in Christ, their turn from darkness to light. Declare those truths over them. That is amazing prayer. And you can do it for, you know, not just for others, but you can do it for yourself. If you suddenly realise, oh, Father, you know, you can confess that sin and ask him to free you from that temptation. And it says here, you can be sure that your Heavenly Father will forgive you if you forgive others when they sin against you. So, that was that part of it. The M part, I was thinking, well, Pastor Paul said mission and ministry. And some people, you know, are called to pray more than others. I mean, Father God wants all of us to pray. Which, if I can find my notes, I wrote them all out again. These are that's the first lot. This is the second lot, which was nicer and more of an order. But as you can tell, when the Holy Spirit comes, it just goes blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I'd got this here. Hopefully, I've got it in my Bible. It's 1 Timothy 2:8. Yay. Timothy 2, verse 8. Now that's 1 Timothy 3, that's why it doesn't make sense. Okay, yes. I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So all men pray everywhere. So that's your mission. That's your ministry. Pray for all men and pray everywhere. Quite simple, really. This doesn't leave much room for anything. So we know that God wants all men to pray. He wants all men to pray everywhere. So whatever you're doing, whatever part of your life you're at, you pray, you declare, you release the kingdom of heaven in. And that can, you know, if you're working, that includes your work. It's not like you have a separate work time. This is my work time. This is my church time. This is my family time, you know, this is my blah, blah, blah time. Everything, everywhere gets covered in prayer. And then everything is released. The kingdom of heaven is then released into every area that you go. You take the kingdom with you wherever you go. So yeah, so that was that bit. One of the other tools I'd got was tongues. So if we look to 1 Corinthians 12. We've got different gifts of the Holy Spirit. Verse 7, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings, the same Spirit, to another the worker of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each individually as he wills. And I used to think that this was kind of like a, like the distribution to all as he wills was kind of like, oh, so that's all right then, I might not have that gift. But then along come the Holy Spirit and said, that's not what that means. That is not what I meant. What this means is, these are all the different gifts, and I will distribute them as I will. And sometimes you might be prophesying. We were just prophesying earlier as we laid hands on Xander and Gabriel. We were imparting things to them. So other times we lay hands on people and we impart healing to them. That's what prayer does. Prayer imparts, which is an I. It doesn't quite fit in with that wham, but never mind. but there was this one tongue is tongues, and you get different type of tongues. Sometimes you hear people and they're in tongues and it's the same tongue every single time. And you think, That's like using a hammer to everything. It's like, tongues is like, you've got so many tongues. You know where it says every tribe and every nation and every tongue will confess. And there's loads of different tongues. I mean, like English, you've got loads and loads and loads of different dialects. You know, the same as you've got in every other language. There's loads of different tongues. And so when you're being led by the Holy Spirit in tongues, there could be myriads of them. But it's not just that you just go off and start like babbling, like Jesus said. Like, you can go from tongues to English. You ask the Holy Spirit, what am I praying for here? What is that? When I first heard tongues, I had no idea what it was. I'd heard of it, but I'd not experienced it, because I came from a Brethren background where they didn't speak in tongues. That was for back when the apostles were, and there weren't any apostles now, so tongues wasn't needed now. So, thankfully, as I was journeying along with God the Father, he said, well, that's not the truth either. Told me there was lots of things I used to believe that weren't the truth. So, and he said, and of course, I'd asked for the gift of the Holy Spirit, but I'd never heard it, so I didn't really understand what it was. And one day I was cycling up to camp, because we were living in Germany at the time, and I'd heard the Holy Spirit say, pray. And I was praying, and I was asking about the Holy Spirit, and, oh, well, if those gifts are for today and they're available, could I have that, please, if you don't mind, if it's all right? But what I didn't realise was I'd not been able to release that gift that he'd given me. And I went up to the prayer thing, and I was cycling up, and I'd had this kind of like, what I thought was weird thing going on in my head. And I just thought, well, I just sort of like let it out a little bit. So I did that. And I thought, well, actually doesn't sound so weird when you let it out. Sounds as if it might be something, some sort of language. So I went up to the padre at the time, and I'm going, what does tongues sound like? Bit nervous. And so these people who obviously knew exactly what tongues was and whatever were really lovely, because they said, well, sometimes it can sound, you know, Chinese, Japanese, Indian, German, English, French, whatever. As many as different languages, it can sound like that. And I thought, oh, well, that's all right. Because the tongues I had sounded vaguely like I was doing an Indian war dance. And, and I was just a little bit concerned that I might just be losing the plot. But no, actually it wasn't. And so sometimes in the heavenlies, using the heavenly languages, you can be doing that. And it's perfectly normal. When they said, yes, you're probably warring for somebody or standing in faith for somebody somewhere. And you might never know, but God at that moment, because you were submitted to him, could use you in that way. So if you've never, ever, ever heard tongues, stand beside somebody in the church who knows who it is and just ask them. And they'll speak to you in tongues and they'll be able to help you. She says, looking out as all the people in the church go, But it's not a formula. It is a relationship. And sometimes it'll be all sorts of different things. But it is the Holy Spirit who comes. When Jesus said he went to give people a helper, the helper was the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you in what you should pray for. So if we go to Romans 8 and verse 26, says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So you see, groanings is another thing. You can be groaning, and I mean like groaning as if you're in labour, and you're giving birth to something in the spirit realm, and you don't particularly know what it is till you see it manifest in different things that happen in the lives of those round about you. So the Holy Spirit helps you to pray. That's why we should all continually be filled with the Holy Spirit and keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because he will help you when you don't know what to pray for. When situations overwhelm you. When your emotions get too heavily involved and you don't know what to pray or where to go. the Holy Spirit will help you. And that's one that I've used loads of times. Because there's loads of situations that the Holy Spirit will want to lead you into that you're thinking, and the Holy Spirit will help you. The Holy Spirit will lead you. One of my favourite verses at the minute is Micah 2:15, which is one that we got at Faith Camp. And I've read this book by Barbara Yoda. I can't remember the title of it. Should maybe have brought it, but never mind. But it talks about a breaker anointing, and it's all about the breaker, and the breaker being the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit being the one who goes before you, opens the doors, breaks out of this narrow gate that you're in, and brings you out. And that sometimes it might be that there's circumstances that you feel are constraining you, or you're at the gate of something, you're making a decision about something. Should I go in? Should I go? Should I not? And you're kind of like, not sure, not sure, not sure. And that verse just boom. Actually, it's okay. The Holy Spirit's going to go before me. Jesus himself is going before me. He's going to break open the gates, and he's going to lead me, and it will be awesome. And when we were at Faith Camp, to give you an example of this, which was like, here's the word, let's have the application straight away. it was like, Pastor Paul had to leave camp on the Friday for little Kyle, Ron and Deborah's grandson's funeral. So it meant that he was going to be away for the 8 o'clock. And so in order for him not to be away for 2 8 o'clocks, he'd said to Brian and I, we're scheduled to be on the radio this morning. It's Thursday morning. Would you mind doing this? Yeah, so my first thought wasn't, woohoo, I'm going to be on the radio, woohoo. That was not my first thought. It was like, oh my, oh Jesus. Which is quite a good prayer. So Brian was going, oh yeah, that'd be fine. Because as you know, Brian in his street angeling coordinating role has been on the radio several times. He's a pro at it. So he was going, oh yeah, that's fine. I'm going, smile nicely at Pastor Paul. Yes, I can see some of you know exactly what I'm meaning. So Brian then goes, oh, I'll talk about the events that are coming up. You can do the word for today. She says, smiling nicely at her husband. And I thought, okay. So this idea popped into my head. Oh, I know. I've just got this devotional by Heidi Baker. It's really good. It's all about love. I can do that. Sorted. So I thought, right, okay. That's fine. That's what I'll do. So I'm a bit all right about that. And then I went and we were chatting with the wonderful Hartnells, who were on the radio. I've forgotten your daughter-in-law, Richard. Sorry? Daniela. Yes, Daniela comes up to me and she's going, right, now you need to have a song. So that was all right because Pastor Paul had got already thought about a song. So we thought, we'll just nick that. That's great. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And she says, and you just bring the word for the camp. Just bring the word for the camp. Okay. So at this point, I'm thinking, is what I'm going to do okay? Should I do this? Should I change it? What am I going to do? And then that word. No, the Lord is going to go before you. He's going to make the way, and it will be all right. Peace. Peace. So we went ahead and we did it. But that was just like, yeah, an application of the word. You hear the word, you do the word, and funnily enough, it does exactly what it says on the can. But I've prayed that prayer several times now, and it's just there now. It's like, oh, so when God's asking you to do something that's absolutely impossible and you cannot possibly do it, he will make the way. He will go before you. It's the great I am that is going before you. And this is what prayer, this is what meditation on the word does. You take a word and you sit and you listen and you hear God speaking to you, And it's just like, wow, it's just amazing. It's absolutely incredible. So yeah, so that was that. I've already talked about laying on of hands. That is in 1 Timothy 4:14. If you want to turn there, we can do, because it was quite good, because it's talking about how Paul laid hands on Timothy and then released Timothy into the anointing and into the ministry that he had. And sometimes we do that. We lay hands on people and we impart things. Like we sort of like you see it when you all the time here. So, and it says, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership." So when your leaders pray for you and they're speaking things over you, they're prophesying over you and they're laying hands on you to impart that. But it says, do not neglect it. So take hold of it. Take hold of the word. If they say a word to you, take hold of the word. Think, wow, okay, that's for me. That's going to happen in me. I don't know when it's going to happen in me. It might not be for today or for tomorrow, but it might be along the way. But know that that's the word that you keep hold of, and that's a promise you keep hold of. And you don't neglect it. You meditate on it. You go in it and you work on it and you say, yes. Like I'm looking at the wonderful Lottie over there, because she had an amazing word prophesied over her about songwriting and all sorts of things. And it's like, yes, I know Lottie is not neglecting that gift. I know she's working on that. So it's like, yay. One day, I don't know when, but we will be listening to Lottie's wonderful songs and we will be worshipping God with them and it will be awesome. Yeah. So yeah. Because I'm just laughing at this 1 Timothy 4:12, which is a verse that was given to me when I was baptized by the eldership of my church at the time. And it says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." I mean, that is amazing. So, you know, it doesn't matter if you're young. And by young, I don't mean necessarily young in age. It can be young as a young Christian. It can be young as somebody who's just given their lives to Jesus. You know, be an example. And it's not a rote example. That was one thing that Jesus told me. It's not a clone. You are a example. So be a example. Don't be the example. Be our example. And that allows you the freedom to be who you are. You are not trying to be conformed to anybody else. You've got the freedom to be yourself. And as yourself, you will be an example of a believer in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. I don't know why I went there, but it seemed to be highlighted, so I'll go for it. So, yes. Ask and keep on asking. If we turn to Mark 11... verses 22 to 26 I've got here. Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." That says, he will have whatever. Whatever. It's a huge word. It's all encompassing. It doesn't say whatever apart from. It says whatever. "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Isn't that an amazing promise? Isn't that an amazing, astounding promise? Pray with faith. Pray believing, and you will ask, and when you ask, you will have them. I just think that just blows my head. That just really, really, really blows my mind. It is such an all-encompassing ask. Ask, believe, receive. That doesn't make a word, does it? But anyway. A, B, R. But anyway, yes. So, I think that's about where I'm at. I had loads of other scriptures all looked up, but I think you can actually look a lot of them up yourself. One thing that I did pick up on Pastor Paul was like personalising the Bible. And if you don't really know that, if that's not something you've ever really done, then can I advise you to buy the Truth Bible? Because in the back, there are lots of personalised verses. And you can look at the verse that is quoted there, and you can see how to personalise. So if I do one, the first one for you in this, which is Matthew 4:4, which says, Jesus replied, it is written, man is not to live only by bread, but he is to feed on every word that comes from God's mouth. So that's what Jesus said, that we're not to live only by bread, but we are to feed on every word that comes from God's mouth. So when you look at the back of the Truth version, it reads, I feed on every word that comes from God's mouth. So you get an idea of what personalising it means. That you mean that today, this day, I can feed on the word that comes from God's word. And you can ask the Holy Spirit, you say, Holy Spirit, is there a word I need to hear from you today? Is there a word that you are saying specifically to me today? And if you're one like me and you've got like 3 or 4 devotionals, you can just say, oh. And sometimes I don't need to ask the Holy Spirit, because it's like I look at one and I think, okay, that's the one I'm going to use today. And then I can start my time with Jesus from that one, and I can hear what he wants to say to me today, and I can live on that word from him for that day. So that's a good one. The other one for praying is this one, which is the Truth version, but it's the theme one. And it is amazing. You can look up this, which is what I did when God said, what is prayer? And there are literally all the verses on prayer there. And what I got from this was some of the things that prayer does. So I'm just going to read a couple that I've outlined. I won't go to them, but I'll leave you with this once I've finished. But it's like Nehemiah 9, because we like Nehemiah. That's an In Kingdom Faith Yorkshire joke, Nehemiah. So Nehemiah 9:27. But in the time of this trouble, you delivered them from the hands of their enemies who had oppressed them. For when they cried out to you in prayer, you heard from heaven, and in your abundant mercy, you gave them deliverers to save them from the hands of their enemies. So you can look at that and you can think, wow. We cry out to God in prayer. Sometimes we do cry. Like I said, you just go, oh, Jesus. But Jesus hears your cry. Jesus hears it. He answers it. And he sends you deliverers. So if you're in the hands of your enemies, if you've been oppressed, then this is a great verse to personalize. This would be great. You know, thank you, Lord, that I'm in trouble at the moment and some people are trying to oppress me or something's oppressing me. But I thank you, Lord, that I'm crying out to you. You are just going to save me and deliver me from the hands of my enemies. So, you know, like prayer delivers. Prayer delivers. Job 11:13-15. If you open your heart to him and stretch out your hands to him in prayer, if you turn away from the sins you have been committing and allow nothing ungodly in your house, then surely you can look to the Lord without shame. You can be confident and unafraid. So prayer, conversation with God, makes you confident and makes you unafraid. Like in Hebrews, we can have boldness to go right into the throne of grace and to ask and to receive from the Father, full of grace and full of mercy. Again in Job it says, if you return to the Almighty, you shall be restored. If you remove wickedness from your dwelling places and recognize that your wealth is but dust, like the gold that is still hidden in the rocks of Ophir, then the Almighty will be both your gold and your precious silver. How amazing is that? How you won't be like the world striving for gold and silver. The Lord God himself will be your gold and your precious silver. Then you will delight in the Almighty and will lift up your face to God. You will pray to him and he will hear you. That is just incredible. I mean, I don't really need to expand on that. That's the word of God, and that does what it says it does. You know, And you will be able to do what he says you can do. You know, you are who the I am says that you are. You are what the I am says you are, and you will do what the I am says you can do. It's amazing. It's incredible. So, Psalm 138. When I called you, you answered me and encouraged me by making me strong. So when you feel weak, when you feel hopeless, when you feel overwhelmed, you call to the Lord, he answers you and he makes you strong. He encourages you. And whether that's through being part of the body or by listening to a podcast or just by bumping into somebody that you didn't even know was going to be where you are, God encourages you and he makes you strong. So there's loads and loads of these in this bit, quite hundreds of them. So it's like, it's all an encouragement and it's all prayer. So there you go. What is prayer? How do you pray? Ask, and your mission is all men everywhere.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.